This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Holy Spirit, we thank you. Lord, have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, glorify Christ in everything that we do, in everything that we say. Let Jesus be glorified. Amen. Amen, family. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everyone looks well rested and whatnot. Now, I'm so excited to be with you all. You know, how many people have listened or were here last Sunday to hear our pastor speak on seeing in the dark? Amen. Now, if you haven't heard that message, and if you haven't heard, there's another message, Go Through the Gates. And in between that, there was a message I spoke on Taken Ground. You know, it was not a planned series, but I believe it. The Holy Spirit has it where we're going in a series. And just to give some context, you know, our pastor began by this message on Go Through the Gates, and it talked about the urgency of what God is doing in this season. There is a scripture that says that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord. And what it's speaking to is this transfer, this change of power, this change of authority, that, you know, this world has been ruled by things outside of the nature and the culture of the ways of God, but that God is calling his people to step into every sphere of influence, everywhere, from tech to entertainment, music, films, education, politics. Everywhere God is sending his people, and there is this shift that is happening where his people will begin to have authority, and not just for authority for their name, no, so that they can bring in the culture of the kingdom of God, that many would be saved, lives will be healed, you know. And then when PT was preaching on seeing in the dark, he talked about a scripture that I'm going to touch on a bit. It was in Ephesians 2, and he touched on from verse 1 to 2, and I'm going to pull out some other things in Ephesians 2, but from verse 1 to 2, it says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." And I love last week's message so much, because PT began to teach on how a lot of people are in bondage, but they don't even know it, because they're walking influenced by a spirit that they're blind to. You see, prior to that, when I was teaching on Taking Ground, I was telling you all that in the spiritual realm, there is no gray area, right? Everything is black and white. You're either influenced by the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible will say things like that our steps are ordered by the Lord. So if the Lord orders the steps of the righteous, who orders the steps of the others? Everything in life, there is a spiritual component behind it. There is a spirit that backs it up. And so even when the scripture talks about there is a spirit at work in the sons of disobedience, and this spirit is not a spirit that comes from God, it's an evil spirit whose agenda is connected to the kingdom of darkness. Every single thing we see in this life either promotes and establishes God's kingdom, or it promotes and establishes the other guy's kingdom. There is no in between. And so many times we just think we're just living our life. You know, when PT was speaking on this, I reflected on my life. And I remember the times when I felt like, man, this Christianity thing is boring. I want to do something else. I want to have fun. You know, I want to turn up with the cool kids, right? And the moment I came out of agreement with the way that God had called me, the things I found myself caught up in, this is when I was like, there was a spirit at work. Because it's not even things I naturally desire. You cannot tempt me with my past. I have no appetite for the things that I was doing and I thought it was fun. And then I thought it was me. I thought, no, this is just me. This is me being my authentic self. You know, I'm just living my life. Can't you accept me for who I am? And if you bring those things back to me now, the enemy can't even tempt me with it. Because there is nothing in me that desires it. And even when you think about your life, when you think about some of the things God brought you out of, and you're like, it's not even a temptation. So who was that person? What was influencing that person? What spirit was behind the actions and the decisions that I made in my authenticity? And so I loved when PT began to break that down. That sometimes we think we're just living our lives, but we don't know that we're living according to an order that someone else has established. And this is why obedience to God is so critical. Because only the one that formed your life knows who you are. The Bible says, before I formed you, I knew you. I was intimately involved with you. I know everything about, I know layers of your life that you have not even met yet. So when God gives you an instruction, He is actually showing you the order of you. He is showing you the way of your life that existed before you even got here. He is showing you what alignment with this version of you looks like with the version of you He knows. And when we walk outside of that order, we start following another guy's order. And we call it, sadly, living my truth. Right? Everything we call is authenticity, even when it's not authentic to our truth. And so what I love about this scripture is that when we jump down to verse 10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see, I love the worship moment. As we were declaring that, God, we will say yes. And you see, lately, this thing about obedience has been weighed so heavy on me. The Lord has been showing me the need for perfect obedience. Perfect obedience. Not halfway in and halfway out, but perfect obedience. Because that outside of it, there are many things that we build illegally. And I'll touch on this. You see, the Lord says that there is something He has prepared, good works that He has prepared for your life before you ever got here, that you may walk in them. And how do you walk in them? When the Holy Spirit begins to order your steps. Now, the beautiful thing in God is God does not just keep you limited to who you think you are. Because when you get, the more you dive deeper in God, the more you start realizing, like, man, I am not a title. I am not a talent or a gift. I am. I am in whatever season that God begins to reveal is my identity and the thing that He has called me to do in a season. And there are good works that God has called you to walk in. Now, I love this idea of this word good and how it's used by the Lord. Because in life, if I asked you, tell me good things that you can do, we would have a list, right? Easily. We would talk about, oh my God, oh, there are so many good things I could do right now. But good is a standard that only exists in God. Good is not what we always think that good is. Right. Because you can commit your life to say, you know, I just want to commit my life to doing this good deed. And in the sight of God, He might call it evil. And the reason He calls it evil is that even though you're doing something that is good according to society, It looks nothing like the life God called you to live. You see, sin is not like sin is bigger than the things that we look and point fingers at. Sin is bigger than the things that we can see so we can judge somebody on. Because I cannot judge you on your purpose because I don't know your purpose. Only God does. But when you're walking outside of the vision and the purpose God has for you, it is sin, because sin is about missing the mark of your life. That is why even when there were people that came to Jesus and they said, "Hey, Lord, we did so many good things in your name. We healed people. We talked about you." And Jesus was like, "Get away from me. I don't even know you." And what Jesus was trying to say is that your good stuff, first of all, was never empowered by my spirit. And so if it wasn't empowered by my spirit, something else was leading you to do the things that you did. It was not the direction of what I know about your life. I never knew you. I've never walked with you. Because your life has never looked like what I ordained. You see, God was dealing with me about this understanding of illegal works. And to give you insight on this, you see, in the Old Testament, there are certain things that God would tell people, he forbade them to do, right? He would tell the Israelites, he's like, "You are not allowed to go to soothsayers," right? To go to palm readers, right? People that call on the dead. People that will tell you your destiny based on whatever. He said it is illegal. Now, the funny thing is, God did not tell them that everything they do is a lie. He just said, "I forbid you from going to such people." Then you fast forward and you see the Apostle Paul. He has an encounter with a lady who is literally a fortune teller in the town. And she's following him and almost like just annoying him. And she is known to bring great profit to the town, to the people who lived in the city. But then Paul rebukes a spirit out of her. And it was, and the Bible talks about this spirit of Python. And it was a spirit, it was a divination spirit. But then this is what intrigues me. How is it that what she was saying was true, but it was not of God? How is it that God will forbid the Israelites to go to certain places, not because it was 100% false, but the routes they were taking was illegal? You see, I'll share something with you that the Lord was teaching me. You see, sometimes we get confused, and this is where the seduction comes in, especially in our city. You know, you drive around, you go on the corners, you see people, palm readers, you see all kinds of things. You know, they will do tarot card reading, and then somebody tells you the name of your grandmother, you start crying. How did they know that? And you're just like, and then you say, "I know God led me here." Because for you, someone telling you the name of your grandma and what she wore the day before she passed, you said, "Child, I know they talk about this in church, but God is here." But here's the thing. There is a realm that is just a realm of knowledge. You see, the heavens are layered. That is why there is a place in heaven where Satan even would just walk in. Remember when God and Satan were having a conversation? That was not, heaven is not limited to the throne room of God. There are many layers of heaven. Satan was literally having a conversation with God. The Bible says that when the sons of God appeared before him, Satan was with them too. And he just walked on in. And he was not rebuked, because that is a place where he's allowed to walk in and out. He was not rebuked like, "Satan, why are you here? You know your place." Because that's a different place in heaven. And literally God and Satan, they're having a conversation. And here's the thing, which is so interesting. God tells Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan knew who Job was. He knew his name. He knew his family. He knew the things that were happening in his life. This is a realm of knowledge. Everything that exists on earth is. There is knowledge, there is information that God knows and Satan knows. Where he is limited, it is about the future. Because only God is the Alpha and Omega. So whatever has happened and whatever is, one of the things the Lord was teaching me about the enemy is that they rely on information. Information is their strength. That's why sometimes demons are also known as spirits of intelligence. Because they rely, they collect data. And so for someone who is outside of the Spirit of God to know the name of your grandmother is just illegal access of information. Your grandmother's name exists. It was known already. That's why even with Jesus, you have to recognize that Jesus was on earth. Satan couldn't figure out. Like, he was so, like, confused. Who is, out of all these children, which one is Jesus? Let me see if I can kill him early. No one could identify Jesus until God made an announcement. He says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." When that announcement happened, everybody heard it. And I mean everybody. Because after that, all of a sudden, the demons are pulling up on Jesus. "What have you come to do with us, Son of Man?" Hallelujah. Do you know that the demons would even say, "Jesus, we know. Paul, we know." They said, "No, we know about these people. These people have authority to cast us out. But who are you?" When there were some kids who came to try to cast out a demon. And they were trying to use language. They were trying to cast out a demon, not from a place of revelation, but from a place of what they heard someone else do. And the demon literally looks at them and they're like, "Y'all are foolish. Because we know the people who have authority to cast us out. But you don't." So they beat up the group of kids like, "This is foolish." But why I'm sharing this with you is that there are illegal things that happen. There is illegal ways of accessing information. And whenever people go to things like psychics and, tarot card reading, because it is not a spirit of God. You see, at the end in everything God does is good. The outcome of everything the enemy does is evil. So in those moments, you're exposing yourself to destruction while you're in tears that somebody knows your name. But they are accessing your information illegally. Now, in the same manner, we build works that are illegal in the sight of God. And what I mean by that is your life is unique. Your life is ordained to do certain things that God has already seen. There is something about your life that only you were called to speak to it. There is something about the uniqueness of your life that God tailored for certain mountains to come down. There is something about you, not someone else, but you. This is also why sometimes God will give you unique instructions that are outside of what everyone does. God will have you do weird things that you're like, "God, why am I doing this? Like, you want me to do what on a Tuesday? Every Tuesday." No one else understands it. It's unique to you. There are unique instructions that sometimes God will give you because the sound of your life is unique to the earth. There is something you carry that no one else carries. And so when your life does not move in the order that God ordained, and you're doing something else because you call that good, but God says, that's not even legal in my sight. Because I never called you to build that. Why I'm sharing this today is that the Lord began to show me that there are burdens he wants to place in the hearts of his people. And it's the burden of what your life is called to. What your life is called to answer. And some of these things can even shift your entire career. You thought your life was going one way, and God is like, "Nah, I want you to do this." Because those who are called the sons of God, and son is just about inheritance. Son covers male and female. The Bible says those who are called the sons of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God. Not by their judgment of good. Not by their idea of the things that would benefit the world. But those who are led by the Spirit of God. I'm understanding that there is such an urgency for you to be who God has called you to be on the earth. There is an urgency for you. You see, because we're stepping into a season. And what the Lord has been showing me about this new season that we're about to step into is that it would be the arm of the Lord. And whenever you study the Bible in connection to the arm of the Lord, there are two things that it ties to. One is when God wants to raise people up in such a supernatural way, with so much favor. You had no background in the place that God placed you in, but then you are being brought to the front. There is favor on your life that you cannot even understand, because it would be said that the arm of the Lord did this. But then you also see in the Bible judgment. When God brings what has been idols in the sight of man and he brings it down. Because when God releases judgment, it is also known that the arm of the Lord did this. And there is a judgment on things that do not carry the Spirit of God that we are coming into. We're going to see in 2023, it's going to be the start of this weight of the arm of the Lord. On one hand, you're going to see great exposure happening. On another hand, you're going to see people from nowhere having authority and influence and rulership in places that they did not. They didn't even have education in. But God will begin to raise people up. But here is the thing. You don't need education for what you have an anointing for. Because the anointing is connected to your identity. You see, even when we are in a room like this, you know, there are many people that can just gather a crowd. Talents can gather crowds. But anointing is what transforms people when they walk out the doors. You would see a crowd for anything. People just get together for all kinds of things. You could call it a sculpt party. There's a crowd. But when it's the hand of God involved, what you have been anointed to do, you have authority for. That is why the first sign of a man named David becoming king was not about his head having the crown. It was about the oil being poured. Because his kingship did not start when he received a crown by men. His kingship started when he was revealed that this is the thing God has anointed you for. God did not need to wait in the natural for an exchange. God did not anoint David the day David was acknowledged as king before men. The announcement of your authority is in your anointing. God, what have you anointed me for? And what are you anointing me to do in this season? The moment David was anointed, he had an authority against Goliath. That the moment David, if you haven't read this story, you read the story about how David defeated Goliath with stones and a sling rock. When he threw that stone, even if the stone was not heading in Goliath's direction, an angel would have carried it and helped him just hit the target. Because where there is an anointing, there is authority. That even what you think is your weakness, God begins to turn it for your strength, because heaven backs up where it sees the anointing. Whatever God is anointing you to do in a season, and you would know what you're anointed for by the instructions God gives you. When God gives you an instruction, he is revealing the anointing that is on your life. And we are in a season where the Lord is going to release instructions. And these are going to be weighty. And they're going to be hard yeses to give. You see, last week, PT was talking about people going into the tech field to dominate that for the kingdom. And some of the people that the Holy Spirit convicted in that moment, you have no knowledge of tech. Matter of fact, you are very successful right where you are. That you started to wonder, like, God, is this really you convicting me? Because I'm good where I'm at. But you see, I want to read a scripture to you that the Lord placed on my heart. It's in Revelation 4 from verse 9 to 11. And it says this, and this was when John was having a vision. And in this particular vision, he is in the throne room of God. Right, where the throne, where the Father sits. And in that throne room, there are people, it has limited access. It's not everybody that can just, you know, walk into the throne room. And it says this, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who sits on the throne and worship him, who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." What the Lord was showing me, you see, this 24 elders, these were, that's a whole nother teaching, but these were men, just like us. And we'll go into that later, but the 24 elders around the throne, they received crowns of gold. Crowns of gold that the Lord gave to them. These crowns in our natural lives can represent our talents, our gifts, our positions, our titles, the things that God gave to us. The things that God said, you have greatness in this area. I gave you so much favor in this area. He crowned them. But when they were in the presence of God, they realized, my crown is nothing compared to your glory being revealed. They were able to cast their crowns before God. And we are in a season that God is saying, the very crown he gave you, can you cast it before him? For the new assignment that would reveal his glory out of your life. You see, sometimes when we think that we're wrestling with giving God a yes, when we feel like, Holy Spirit, give me more grace that I would be able to give you a yes. You're not really wrestling with giving God a yes. You're wrestling with holding on to your crown. You're like, God, I'm an exec. I'm going up the ladder and you're telling me to do what? Your crown, can you cast it before the Lord? That crown that you're holding on to with everything because it gives you a sense of significance. Can you cast it before the Lord for the thing he is telling you to do in this season that will glorify him? What are the instructions that God has put in your heart that you have been tugging, doing the tug of war with him? Because it's not the yes that you're struggling with. It's letting go of your crown. And the funny thing is, it's a crown that he gave you. If he gave it to you, don't you think he wants to reveal you in an even greater way with what he's telling you to do right now? You see, what the Holy Spirit instructed me to tell you is that in your prayer life, begin to ask God, burden me with me. Burden me, because one of the things that God has taught me to always pray about is burden me with what burdens you. And now I'm understanding even more. It's burden me with me. Who did you call me to be, God? What did you call me to do that I am ignorant of? In this new season of my life, God, reveal what you have called me to do, burden me with the assignment of my life. And this is a hard thing. Because when you're comfortable where you are, doing what you've always done, and you see the path of growth and success, and God now says, now I want you to also make a detour. I want you to shift lanes. And sometimes he may still have you in the same thing, but he says, now add this to it. But the problem we have is that we start questioning, like, either you're struggling with your crown or you're struggling with your inadequacy. And you're like, God, it can't be me. I don't have what it takes. But I've learned something in God. That when you feel like a shoe is too big for you to fill, it's supposed to be. Because the Holy Spirit fills it with you. You see, last night the Lord showed me something, and I believe it was such a great confirmation to this message. And I highlighted him in the last service, and I'm going to do that again. You know, someone on our worship team, Stan, and Stan, I want you to stand up. Because there are people in this room that are going to get connected to what you're doing. So Stan has, God put on his heart to have this, you know, worship night at USC. He goes to USC. Come on, somebody. Look at that. I'm hearing some people who go to USC in this room. Because you can't, you know, when you call something out and people respond, that they're connected to it, right? But he goes to USC, and God placed on his heart to start having worship and Bible study there. And he does it. There's a small group of people that come out. And he's been praying about what God wants to do on that campus. And then last night, the Lord gives me this vision about USC in the totality of the university. And I saw chains being broken off of the university and the people connected to it. Now, here is the crazy thing. When I began to pray to seek about what God is saying, then the Lord began to show me that we need to back up what he is doing. Because this is one man who got an instruction from the Lord and in his obedience began to walk it out. And unknown to him, his prayers, one man, his prayers and his obedience is literally setting an entire university free from bondage. And then, as I was in prayer, the Lord is showing me, so he puts two people on my heart. One was Ty, who is, he leads our young adults team, Generation One. And Brunus, who is our MD, and he's also part of the leaders in One House, our music arm. And the Lord told me to reach out to both of them this morning and share with them this vision and share with them that we need to back him up. And so I put them in a group chat and I'm like, hey guys, I'm seeing that the Lord is going to bring great revival to USC. And he's going to breathe on what is taking place. Then Ty tells me, he was like, man, Stephanie, you don't even know. I was talking to Stan and he just told me that they've been praying that God will give them a space where they can officially meet on the campus. A space where they can have official territory on the campus. Because all along they're meeting, they're sitting on the grass and they're just gathering together. And he said, and he just got it. And then, come on somebody. We can praise God for that. We can praise God for that. And that's not it. And then I'm talking to Brunus, and he was like, man, Steph, we didn't even tell you this. But One House is preparing to start worshiping in colleges. And USC, we're going to back him up. And whatever we need to plant at USC, we're going to bring worship to it as well. What I'm trying to share with you is that what God is calling you to do, you are not too small for it. Because the Spirit of God is going to be with you. The moment Stan began to walk out in obedience, complete obedience, all of a sudden, heaven is backing him up in ways beyond his comprehension. And I told him, I was going to highlight him, because the Lord showed me there are people that are in this room that would hear this, and the Lord will put on your heart to get involved with what he's doing at that college. Because this is how God moves. And you see, family, in the same way, that thing that God called you to do, you're going to receive help for it. Because all God needs is your yes. heaven would respond to you. God will begin to convict the hearts of people to respond to you. Do you know that there was a man named Elijah in the Bible? And he proclaimed that there would be a drought in the city according to the word of God. He spoke according to what the Spirit of God revealed to him, that there would be a drought. And while there was a drought, obviously, you know, he's also affected. He's in the city. So the Lord, you know, sent him to a place where he can find food and water. But when the water dries up, the Lord tells him to go to a certain widow's house. And this is the language God uses. He said, I have commanded a widow to feed you. Now, he gives him certain instructions. You got to read this. It's really good. Just search the whole Bible, like our pastor would say. You will find this story. God tells Elijah, I have commanded a widow to feed you. Elijah goes to this widow's house. He asks the widow to give him some food. The widow is like, look, she's acting like she doesn't know what, like, God never had a conversation with me, bro. Because Elijah is like, hey, you know, give me some food. And she's just like, listen, the drought is affecting all of us. It's real out here. She said, I only have a little bit of food for me and my son so we can eat and die. So I don't know what you're on. Elijah is like, you know what? Whatever you have, make some food, serve me first, and then eat. And she followed the instruction. And out of that instruction, there was just supernatural provision. She never ran out of food. But I'm sharing this to say this. God said, I commanded someone to feed you. That person did not even receive an audible, a clear instruction, but her spirit received the conviction. You see, when you walk in obedience to God, there are places that God will send you to and just say, talk about your vision. Meet that person and just talk to them, because God has already commanded their spirit to respond to you. There are people that would act as though they have nothing to do for you, but then their spirit will begin to convict them. I need to help this person. I need to do something for this person. This is how God works. You think you need resources and relationships. God says, if you have me, I would give you divine resources. I will send people to you that would not even know why they're in the room with you. But all of a sudden, something will trouble their hearts. I need to support this. I need to be a part of this. Then you start hearing people say, how can I help you? How can I serve what you're doing? How can I be a part of it? Because God will command. You see, there's a scripture that talks about how he is the father of spirits. God made your spirit. He made you. He knows how to speak to the spirit of even an unbeliever. Because he is the author of life. He knows how to speak and reach the depths of people. And knows how to command them to do the things that are connected to his kingdom agenda. You see why I'm sharing this? Because what God, the unique instruction that is upon your life, is tied to the kingdom being manifest on the earth. And do not look at anything as small. Do not think like, well, every people have this grand vision around me, and mine just seems small. That's what's killing our generation. This need to compare and catch up with other people. But where are they going? Has anyone asked? While you're, where are you going? Have you ever been part of the crowd when people start running, you start running? And then you stop and you're like, bro, where are we going? And why are we running? I've been there. I was at a party, you know, back in the day. Everybody starts taking off. Bro, I start taking off. And everybody's going in different directions. I said, what are we running from? And what direction should we run? Because the Bible says that there is a way that seems, check this, good to a man. But in the end, it leads to destruction. You see this idea of good? Good only exists in God. It exists in the voice and instruction of God. Don't feel like you need to measure up with people who don't even know where they're going. Just because anyone can dream big. But don't let that corrupt the purity of what God placed in your heart because you think it's a small thing. God is attracted to things that seem small. Because you see, the Bible says there is one that plants, there is another one that waters, but it is the Lord that causes it to grow. God is attracted to small things the same way he is attracted to weakness, because he reveals himself through it. What you're calling small, God is like, man, that looks beautiful. Now watch what my glory would do when this encounters the power of God. Be a good steward in the thing that seems small. And I don't mean just show up. Your posture, your heart should align to serve it. Because you see, we have this tendency to only focus on the outer appearance. The outer appearance looks like showing up, doing my job, checking off the list. But God doesn't look at any of that. You know what he looks at? Your heart. The character in which you do it. That's why even when the Bible will say things like, give, it doesn't stop there. Cheerfully. So God is not even looking at what you gave. He's looking at, how did you give? Because God is after character. Because you see, there are many things that people can do, but God says, you will know my people by their fruits. So when I'm saying give God a yes, I'm not talking about grudgingly. I'm not talking about give God a yes like, oh my gosh, let me just, all right, God, I'm here. I'm doing what you tell me to do. Because you know your voice changes when you're upset. No, but but I'm talking about understand the revelation behind a yes. Understand that a yes to God is a yes to you. God, you're pulling out of me something I don't know about myself. And I want to know that person. Life is happening right in front of us. Every day there's a story, news about lives taken, you know, people dying prematurely. What do you want your story to be? Don't you want your story to be one that you're like, man, I honored God in my lifetime. I followed God. I experienced who he formed. You see, I don't want to get to heaven and God shows me all the things I left on the table. I don't want that to be my story. That when my works attest to, because you see, heaven is not, just entering heaven is not it. The Bible talks about how your works will be tested by fire. Yeah. And it's not about your works being tested so that you don't make it to heaven. No, you are going to heaven. But then there is a ranking that not everyone falls into. That is why Jesus, there is a mystery in the language of Jesus. Jesus will say things like, when he was talking about his cousin, the Apostle Paul, John the Baptist, the one who baptized him. Jesus will say something about John. He says, you know, among those born of man, and obviously, you know, woman, but man is male and female, right? He said, among those born of man, that John is the greatest. But then Jesus will say, but in the kingdom of heaven, he is the least. Why would Jesus use the language of least even in the kingdom of heaven? Because even in heaven, there are different rankings depending on how you lived your life on earth. And why did Jesus say he was the least? Because this was in response to John being offended by God. Because John was in prison and he's confused. He's like, I can't understand why I'm in prison. I thought you were the Messiah. So he sends word to Jesus. He said, look, are you the one or is there someone else coming? John, you baptized the man. You announced him. Now you're offended. And Jesus said, look, blessed is he who is not offended by me. And so Jesus responding to John's unbelief. John was going to heaven. But he said, but in the kingdom of heaven, he is the least. You see, we have to start to see life from an eternal perspective. Life doesn't end here. And I don't want to go to heaven and be surprised when the Lord is like, "Hoo, child, you left so many things on the table. There are so many things connected to your life. I wanted you to experience while you were on earth. I wanted you to walk in while you were on earth, but you left it on the table chasing likes and trends." God, burden us with us. Rise up with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is doing something beautiful, family. I'm telling you. There are things that God is going to call you into. And you are going to be shocked by the favor. And not to say you're not going to go through some things. Because the Lord will say things like, when you walk through the fire, I will be with you. But you're walking through the fire. You say, God, really? All right now. Doesn't mean that you wouldn't go through stuff. But God says, but I will be with you. The promise is my presence. Because where the presence of God is, you are covered. You see, when you are where God has assigned you to be, he goes before you, he goes behind you, and he goes with you. That is why even a prophet by the name Elisha, when there was an army coming up against him, before the army even got there, God was already ahead of them. So when the armies were coming, Elisha's servant was panicking. He's like, oh my gosh, there is an army and it's only two of us. And Elisha is chilling. He's like, God, please open his eyes. God opens up the eyes of his servant and he sees the armies of God all around the mountain. That even before their enemies came, the armies went ahead of them. This is God's promise to you. It's not that things will not be challenging. It doesn't mean you're not going to have to confront some things. It doesn't mean there's not going to be a fire that you have to go through. But God says, I will be with you. But can we cast our crowns before him? Can we not be so tied to titles and positions and names and look what I did and who I did it with? What about us just being proud and excited to say, I know Jesus. We come out of the culture that can't wait to just see a celebrity so we can take a photo to say, man, guess who I met? What about, man, I encountered God. Because what are you watering? What lifestyle are you watering? Are you watering a lifestyle that is tailored to what society loves? Or do you want to live a life according to what God knows? And I'm telling you, family, we are going to see it. And this season is upon us. You're going to see how God will begin to raise you up. It would be like a dream. You will be asking yourself, is this real? Is this my life right now? Because of your posture to say, God, I give you my life. And not just a yes with my words, a yes with my heart. My character would align with the place you have placed me in. I'm not going to do it and then turn around and gossip with people about how much I hate what I'm doing. Because God saw that too. Thank you, Jesus. And so if you're in this place, and I'll start here, there is already a burden God has placed on your heart. And either you have been holding too tight to your crown to say yes, or you've been holding too tight to your inadequacy to say yes. But you know that this word was for you, that it spoke right to the heart of the matter. Then I want you to meet me at this altar right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Family, can we just praise God as they're coming down the altar? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, have your way. Have your way, God. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come on, fam. Let's just begin. Continue to praise God. Something is happening here. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.